Hey, are you ready to create reliable revenue and master every detail of your hosting business? If you want to avoid compromising all those hospitality details that you love, but still approach hosting like the business it is, we created a free class just for you. Set aside 45 minutes. We promise it's worth your time. And go watch our value-packed workshop where we go over how to master every detail of your hosting business with our foolproof hosting business mastery method that will help you avoid hosting burnout. Growing, where simply starting your hosting business isn't always easy, but it can be simple. We'll help you avoid the three big mistakes that are keeping you stuck, tired, and overwhelmed as a short-term rental host so that you have a powerful revenue stream you can actually rely on.
If you're ready to take your hosting to the next level, head on over to thanksforvisiting.me/workshop to watch this on-demand training. Or send us a DM on Instagram with the word workshop. We'll send you the link and most likely a video DM. We love those. Again, that's thanksforvisiting.me/workshop.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another awesome week. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. All right, let's kick off this episode like we do each and every week by sharing one of you, our amazing listeners, who are using our hashtag #STRShareSunday on Instagram. If you use it, we're looking for you, and we'll share you not only via our Instagram account, which is at @thanksforvisiting_, but also here on the podcast. We'll give you and your short-term rental a lot of love. Annette, Who are we sharing?
AKA free marketing and advertising.
That's true.
Free 99. You guys, let's do it. All right. So today we are featuring at Hiplandia. I love the name. Again, at Hiplandia, Hiplandia. And the reason we want to highlight them today is don't see this that often. And I want everyone to follow them on Instagram and then go to their link. They have a direct booking site, which, you know, Sarah and I have been talking about a lot lately. We feel like it's very important, but we want to show you how Hiplandia, they actually manage multiple properties. So when you go to their Instagram and then go to the web address that they have highlighted, it goes to their direct booking site, which has a handful, I'd say less than 10 properties, but you get to see their portfolio. And they mainly are in Long Beach, California, and they have a few offshoot properties in Colorado. So congrats to that. That's newer for them. But we just want you to take a peek at how that works if you have more than one property, how you would display multiple properties, and really get you excited about the thought of adding properties to your portfolio, whether it's your own or you're helping others host. If you're co-hosting for them and or property managing. But I think it's a great place to take a peek at it. It's simple. It will not overwhelm you. And it's basically all of their listings and a little about us section. But kudos to Hiplandia. Their properties look amazing too. We will have to stay when we are in Long Beach. But check them out. It's a good resource for you to take a peek at as you are planning for your future goals. Speaking of future goals, Sarah.
Yeah.
Let's get on to this solo episode with you and me.
Okay, listeners, we want to always be transparent. We want to always share with you what we're doing in the short-term rental space. That might serve you in terms of, okay, here's someone else's, you know, experience, struggles, triumphs, ideas, all that kind of good stuff. And it might help you to take that next step in your journey and being involved in the short-term rental industry somehow. So
we're going to talk about our most recent failure.
Well,
it's not really a failure.
No,
it was actually a huge success.
I don't know if, Annette, we've even shared with our listeners recently your and my goals to build our rental portfolio together.
I don't think so. So let's
start there. Mm-hmm. So let's start about number one, listeners. You probably, if you've been hanging out with us for a while, you know our story. My husband and I, we have been obsessed with real estate as a way to grow our wealth for years and years now. It was the whole driving factor behind leaving New York City and moving somewhere else. We discovered Columbus, Ohio as a place to move because of the opportunities with their real estate market here. While Annette got started in the short-term rental. And then the rental properties I owned in New York, they were short-term rentals. We wanted more of them. We wanted bigger, larger profit margins so we could grow a little bit faster. So we moved to the Midwest. Nettie, you partner with real estate developers.
Yes. It's not that I didn't have an interest in real estate. It was at a time in my life. I was like trying to figure out what was next and I needed a place to live. He had hundreds, if not thousands of places to live. And so we just kind of got bit by the hospitality and the hosting bug. And then that has turned into, I have had the entrepreneurial bug for quite some time, and that's always been in small business. Mm-hmm. But when Sarah and I started Thanks for Visiting, you know, it was to be our podcast and an education platform. But as our relationship has grown, we now are looking at growing our own real estate portfolio together. And that's super exciting because Sarah is still going to stay focused on her real estate portfolio with her wonderful husband, but her and I are seeking to grow one independently.
Yep.
And that's, to be honest, Sarah and I did not have those conversations in the very beginning. It was of us, you know, wanting to do what we're doing right now in online education. But as we research more and as we get deeper into short-term rentals, we're like, wait, this is the next step for us. And it's the next step for us as business partners. And we're super excited about that.
And so if you're out there wanting to buy property, now here's the deal. We say it, we've said it millions of times. It doesn't really matter to us how, well, it does as long as it's legally acquired, but we don't really care how you acquire your property in which you short-term rent it out, right? If you want to sublease, arbitrage, you have clients, you're a property manager essentially, or buy, we support all of those endeavors as long as that space that you are now responsible for is safe, it's beautiful, and you're putting, you know, the people that you serve before your profits, knowing that your profits will follow.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, we are not saying that you have to buy, that's not what we're saying, but we do want to share with you the fact that we've been talking about this seriously, though. I would say the past year, you and I have in our conversations, just brainstorming the future of Thanks for Visiting and the future of you and me buying properties together and doing something on a larger scale. Mm-hmm. And so listeners, just so you know, like the journey of this, it's been as big as like developing bare land in Hocking Hills,
right?
Like this, we had this really idea for a cool idea for like a tiny home community situation where we'd have the land and build these little tiny homes and we'd sell them, but still managed. So.
Right. We've done all the ideas from multi-units to bigger houses to...
We still want to do our airplane.
Yeah, we still want to do that. But we finally, again, we're keeping it real with you, but maybe not that real because these are conversations that we've been having for over a year. And wow, if you follow us on Instagram, we've showed a time or two us walking through properties. So we have done our fair share of walking through a decent amount of properties. And honestly, there were some really good properties that came our way and it was in the middle of COVID and we probably didn't have all of our, you know what, together to actually like make an offer on those.
Right.
And we're just essentially letting you know we finally took action
yes.
this this week. And so, Sarah, you want to kind of go through how we found this property and actually put our first official offer
in? Well, but before we do that, what if we went over with our listeners, like our criteria, like what, mm-hmm. Over this past year, yes, we've been dreaming a lot, which is great. I think that's really healthy, listeners, to do that. Dream big, say it out loud, talk with your partner, whoever that is, spouse, friend, whomever, about what you want to do. And then you will land on an idea or you'll finally just get so like fed up, like, let's just do something, you know, mm-hmm. just to get it started. And that leads me to my next point, so our criteria. But last month, we had one of my dear friends and a fantastic real estate investor, but he's also a private money lender, Mark Cady of Prime Lending, come into Hosting Business Mastery, our online membership, to give an in-depth training on how to analyze short-term rental properties. Mm-hmm. And the one thing he said, Annette, that really stuck with us, the minute he said it, you and I looked at each other, and what did he say?
That... Everyone, when they're analyzing a property, they want this first one or any deal to be this home run. And he was like, stop looking for the home runs. Just hit a base hit.
Yeah.
Because guess what? Base hits turn into second, third, and then you're at home. And he's like, then they turn into home runs. And so we find this every day. You sit down with a spreadsheet and you want every single cell in that spreadsheet to be in the positive and like you're making amazing money. You're retired. Well, that's not the case. And not every cell in that spreadsheet even has to make sense. And a lot of times, Sarah and I will be honest, the spreadsheet doesn't even come out on some properties. We look at all like other intangibles of area, you know, we'll get through that, but we just want to go back to that quote. Not everything has to be a home run. Mm-hmm. Just start hitting those base hits. So that was like, oh, he's kind of talking straight to us of like, we need to start hitting at least a base hit. Get at bat and start swinging.
And we're by no means saying that you need to, or that we support you buying just any property, mm-hmm. no matter what the spreadsheet says. That's not what we're saying. And you truly make your money when you buy. That's an old saying that, you know, if you buy a property and the numbers don't make sense at all, and there's just really, you don't have a worst case scenario plan, that's not a good buy. And that's not what Mark is saying. Mm-hmm. He's not just saying just buy anything to get started. But if you're like analysis paralysis and you spend like Nettie and I have a good part of a year just like hemming and hawing over a situation where like, I mean, even if it's like cash flowing somewhat, it's like we need to take action on that property, mm-hmm. especially if we believe in it, it's on brand and we've got a little bit of cash flow per month. Let's just do it. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about our criteria, Annette. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, above and beyond the development property that we were kind of chatting about last year, but just with a home that already exists and it being a potential short-term rental, we have two spreadsheets that we use. One that Mark shared with our Hosting Business Mastery members. Mm-hmm. And then we also I'm a huge, huge fan of BiggerPockets. I have been for years and I use their tools and their calculators all the time when we're analyzing deals. So I also use that and just kind of like look at all that information and see what it spits out. So some important things that we take in consideration with short-term rentals obviously is the purchase price, figuring that out. And then what kind of down payment do you have for that property? And that gets into a whole other conversation of what kind of loans are out there. How are you buying this? You know, is it going to be a situation where you're house hacking, which you live in the property, you fix it up as you go, and then you're going to, you know, refinance it and then you'll rent it out. Then you repeat that whole process. They call that the BRRRR strategy. Is it just strictly an investment property? It's ready to go. Your lender knows that it's going to be an investment property. So the down payment kind of depends on that structure. You need to know that because it's really going to affect, you know, your monthly expenses. And then you can put that against your income. Then you need to figure out some things that you need to do some research. What is the average daily rate of that potential property? Obviously, we're going to have to take our best educated guess.
Right. And you can, again, you can go on AirDNA. You can like look at all the hotels. You can look at all the Airbnbs in your area. But that is something that is going to be changing on a daily basis and seasonally. Mm-hmm. There's so many factors that go into that. So that is going to be this like...
a guesstimate.
Yes, exactly. And it can be an educated guesstimate, but it's still going to be a guesstimate.
Well, we get calls a lot from local investors and friends of friends about, hey, Sarah, now we have this property. How much do you think would make a night? And I tell them what I would do if it was my potential deal. I would do what Nettie just said. Mm-hmm. local hotel, like hotels that are nearby, short-term rentals that are nearby, on Airbnb, on HomeAway, any of those online travel agencies, see what those property, and here's the thing, some people know how to price a property, some people don't. Just get like a median number there for yourself and just take your best educated guess. And then you also want to figure out, okay, how many nights are available per year and what is going to be the occupancy rate that you're shooting for. Mm-hmm. And here's the deal. You could get really conservative. And let's just say for us, it's like, okay, what would we make if we just rented out the weekends?
Because weekends are very solid in our area.
So
those
solid.
Those are pretty much a guarantee that those will be rented.
And
no
we're an urban market. If you're new around here, we live in Columbus, Ohio. So we get a lot of business travelers, family and friends. We are an urban market. We are not vacation rental here in the city. So so that's you can go conservative. You can do like 50% occupancy, 60% occupancy. I know because I've been managing short-term rentals here now for 3 years. I have a much deeper understanding of accurate occupancy rates, which helps Annette and myself when we're shopping. And then you want to gather your expenses, right? Your mortgage, the fees that the online travel agencies are going to charge you. City, state taxes, cleaning fees.
Yeah. If you're going to have a manager, if you're going to do it yourself, that is probably one of the largest things you really need to take into consideration because that will either, I mean, it's a huge expense. And if you have a management company, they deserve every dollar of that.
Yeah.
But then obviously just your utilities and then your capital expenditures, any maintenance, if you have homeowners association, and then your short-term rental insurance. And one thing I want that you want to take into account too, you have one large upfront fee of purchasing your furnishings.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be, again, that price, depending on the size of your home, can be a lot of money. So I want you to know when you're looking at that, what you have available to spend on the property. If you're looking at your budget, don't think, oh, I have this cash here. You've got to think about how you're going to purchase all of those furnishings. So what you have available for the home might actually be $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 less if you're going to use that for your furnishings.
Absolutely.
So don't forget when you're working those numbers how important the furnishings
yes.
are going to be there.
Yes. So these are all examples of our expenses. And then, of course, we run those numbers, against our occupancy rate, our average daily rate. Again, we try to be super conservative to see that. And then also your knowledge of the market. We all hope that a property is going to appreciate, but it might not. You can't guarantee the future. So always plan for a plan B and a plan C with that property.
And so we'll tell you exactly one thing that Sarah and I do too is immediately if we're at a house, we also go to Zillow and look at what long-term rents are.
Mm-hmm.
We always want to know, hey, what if something happens and you can't short-term rent here anymore? What if our lives change and we just need to have a long-term renter in there for 3, 6, 9, maybe a year, whatever that might be. That is something we also do immediately is take a look at the long-term rental market in that specific area.
Or the
area.
Long shorts. Like mm-hmm. what if you and I, we even this one property that we'll get into a little bit is near a very prominent hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not uncommon to have families of patients who are staying, nurses, doctors, those sorts, but they stay for longer. So it's not the same as like a nightly stay. Mm-hmm. So that does affect our numbers though, because it's you don't make as much, but you do have less expenses usually because you have less turns and those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. So you can run, a few columns on your analyzer to figure these things out. But then you can also, this is why I like bigger pockets, you can also project, like take the history of this property and see where it's going to be over time as you pay off your mortgage and those expenses start to drop off. What does that mean for your property as well?
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of numbers that you can go over and you can analyze, but just remember not to get too fixated on that analysis paralysis. And the more that Annette and I did it, the more that I was doing it with my husband, when this one we'll talk about this, the story of these two properties, when they came up, it was a much quicker process, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like we could take our experience managing our rentals here, our experience analyzing deals, our past conversations, does this fit with where we want to be
mm-hmm.
right now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now? Does it fit in with our current plans?
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of just have to say, all right, let's sleep on it. And in the morning, if you're still down with it, let's put an offer
yep.
in that. And that's exactly what
we
did.
That's exactly what I said, yeah. And to be honest, let's go over the first one that we didn't put an offer in because we were excited about it. We walked it. We sat in the living room. We're like, oh my gosh, this place is awesome. It's cozy. It's a perfect short-term rental. We could slay it here. You can walk there. You can do it. And then we did. We slept on it and we walked it again. And it was like all the things that we thought would be positives, we kind of played devil's advocate and they started to turn into challenges that maybe we couldn't overcome.
Not only that, but we did find another property, mm-hmm. Actually in a slightly more desirable location, just a few blocks away, but you know how cities work, that can be a big difference. And it was priced $10,000 cheaper mm-hmm. than the one, this first one. Mm-hmm. So we'll call it property A. So property A, we saw, we got excited. There was some functional aspects to it that explained why it was sitting on the market for a little bit. So mm-hmm. it's on a busy street, which for us, we don't mind because like, what was it? Like a stone's throw away from some of the most popular coffee shops,
restaurants parks,
juicery, is that what they're called?
Mm-hmm. It's a juice bar.
A juice bar. So we're thinking, okay, short-term rental guests, they are close to everything. They can walk to all the things. That's cool. So we get the busy street situation. And also if it were to be a long-term renter, someone who lives in this area is going to be most likely someone who's just starting out their life, right?
And not little kids with like bicycles.
It's going to be most likely a young urban professional, mm-hmm. exactly. if you will. Mm-hmm. But there was no off-street parking. And the way this lot was configured, there would never be off-street parking unless you could strike a deal with the person who owned the property behind it and work out an easement situation or some other situation. There would never be off-street parking for this property, which is why homeowners weren't considering it. And mm-hmm. Annette and I are always thinking, okay, yes, we go to like midterm stays, long-term stays. And then the last exit strategy is selling it. We might also have issues selling this because mm-hmm. we can never create that parking space, you know, and is the promise of a great short-term rental now worth it?
Having to sit on it when we go to sell. And by the way, when Sarah and I are looking at properties right now, we have like selling is not even an option. We're not thinking
no.
like 5 years, 10 years, but still we're like, wait, this is in one of the hottest real estate markets that had been in quite some time.
Yeah.
This property is not moving. And the owners were Sarah's actually friends with them. They were very honest with us and like, hey, we actually misjudged this. We thought for sure we would be able to flip this. And we just didn't know that this parking situation was going to be essentially
a
deal breaker. And it ended up actually being a deal breaker for Sarah and I because we went in with all the short term. We were like, we're going to crush it here. It was awesome. It had a great front porch. It had a great...
That was a great property.
The house was beautiful. Where I'm actually sad like talking about it right now, but at the end of the day, it was like... And by the way, our guests would have had plenty of parking though because off-street parking was awesome there and it was free.
Plentiful.
But when we just dug a little deeper, and by the way, so that had nothing to do with numbers. That didn't have to do with the spreadsheet. That just had us like really thinking longer term because in our spreadsheets that we use, there isn't a section for on-street, off-street parking and what's that worth. That's not a column there. That's just something that we have to take into account of what a homeowner's needs would be.
Well, and we had Mark's voice in the back of our head of, you know, they don't
get a base
home.
Hit, yeah.
Yeah. So we're like, okay, you know what? We'll figure out this parking situation. We'll get Nettie to sweet talk the neighbor. We'll figure out an easement. We'll figure these things out. But then this home we had seen back in May came back on the market. It turns out seller financing fell through and it just happened at the same time. And I was like, Nett, let's go back. I'm also a licensed real estate agent. So I got us a showing and we went in and viewed the property and we fell in love with it all over again. Because last time we saw it, Annette, we just looked at it from the outside and saw the listing photos. We loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But now comparing it to that property A, that was $360,000, no off-street parking, more square footage, but...
It also needed work. The property needed some love in the kitchen,
yes,
especially.
It had they call it functional obsolescence, where like it's just not functional,
you know.
So, you know, and it would have been off brand for Annette and myself. Everything that we preach and that we share with you guys are our deep beliefs. We didn't even consider opening it up as a short-term rental right away. We had planned, okay, it would cost this much to make it more functional, blah, 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 blah. We figured those numbers in. It still worked, but that parking spot just didn't work for us. So anyway, this other property comes back on, property B, much smaller, much smaller.
Much smaller.
I mean, the first one was what, 1,800 square feet? Mm-hmm. And this one was like 900.
Yeah, so it's small. It's a tiny.
She was a 2-bedroom, 1-bath, or the other one was a 3-bedroom, 1.5 baths. Mm-hmm. So also we could fit more people more comfortably in property A, but property B was a ranch. Mm-hmm. And you could absolutely improve the property by making it larger down the road. Mm-hmm. We could have added a primary suite. Yep. So it could have been, a 3-bedroom, mm-hmm. 2-bath, mm-hmm. Which is that sweet spot. I love 3-bedroom, 2-baths. But it had the cutest backyard, fenced in backyard, which the other property, we could have fenced in, but it would have been because of this property behind it where we couldn't park, also made fencing it in really awkward. Mm-hmm. And property B had 2-car garage.
Yes. So, which potentially in the future could be a carriage house.
Yes.
Or potentially maybe a 3-car garage. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We could add value there, yes, with the garage. And so, and by the way, that property B, we are not joking. We could have, I mean, I don't know exactly how quickly, but if we would have spent all of our time there, it would have been the quickest turn getting a property up and running for short-term rental. It was ready to go. It was really ready to go. And there have been I don't know if there's been any properties. I think there was one other property in the history of Sarah and I starting this this journey and looking that we could truly
get started.
When we say flip it, flip to SDR immediately. Most all of them had some major flaws. Cosmetic yeah. work that needed to be done to get yeah. guest ready. But we want to tell you, in also being very transparent in this, how we put an offer in and yes. what the funding was. Because yes. this is where I think, you know, we've had to do a lot of work. We don't have W-2s. We work for ourselves. And as everybody knows, that banks love W-2s for some reason because they like W-2s, even though you could walk into your job tomorrow and your W-2 might not love you back. But we are very jealous of everyone out there with W-2s. Yes. So we're not saying that. We're saying it in a very positive way because that's something that is a challenge for us right now, not being able to provide that. But let's talk about the way that we're going to finance this deal.
We may not have W-2s, Annette. Mm-hmm. Listeners, if you are also maybe thinking about leaving your W-2 and starting your own business, here's the deal. I moved my business, mm-hmm. my LLC, from the state of New York to the state of Ohio. When you do that, you're essentially starting all over again, and the banks want to see a 2-year history of you making income before they can loan to you a conventional loan, unless you have some deep relationship with the bank. But again, you're moving state to state. You probably don't in your new state. That mm-hmm. is the case for Nick and myself. Mm-hmm. Our LLC, we started in 2014, but we left New York. We traveled for a while. We bought a property with the proceeds from a sale in New York. And we just kind of hunkered down and worked on it for a better part of a year. And just, you know, we did a lot of YouTube videos. We were just having fun, taking a break. Here we are. We're almost finished with our second year in business in Ohio, working on our taxes and all that kind of stuff, getting prepared again so we can leverage those bank loans. So you can do it mm-hmm. as your own business, but you have to show work history.
Yeah. And it's not just work history. They, you know, obviously they need to see all the funding. And Sarah and I also, our business together
yes.
Is not even quite at the 2-year mark of the LLC being registered.
Right.
So just want to give you some background there. So I just had a conversation, another one of our hosting business mastery members last week. She's like wanting to quit her job because she's co-hosting for a ton of people, but she's getting ready to refi her property too. And I'm like, no,
just wait.
Push through, get the refi because once that W-2's gone, it's gone. And there's a lot of time. So I'm like, do everything financially you need to do with the bank before you let that baby go. You gotta gotta keep it going.
Yes. So
but it's okay. We don't need those stinking W-2s.
No. Because you know what we do have and what you all have too. And Annette and I, together as Annette and Sarah, we've built a brand over the past 2 years. You know, we've showed up every single week with all of you, sharing what we are learning from guests, sharing what we are learning by doing, sharing what we've learned by hosting for all these years, and also are back. Like, right, we've showed up. You've hung out with us for almost 2 years now here on this podcast, and so we reached out to some people, and or they've even actually this one duo reached out to us, mm-hmm. Two women who are just like, you know, we've got some money. And we'd love to lend it out, but not just to anybody. We'd love to lend it out to people who we believe in. Mm-hmm. And that meant so much to Annette and myself. We've chatted with them a few times. And when this deal came up with this property B, we said, let's reach out to them and see if they'd be interested. We weren't looking for equity partners for this deal, but we were looking for private money lenders, mm-hmm. Just to buy us some time until we could refi out of the private loan. Mm-hmm. Long story short, we figured out, they said, here's what we would do. Here's our offer with some terms. We came back and said, would you consider this? And they came back and said, no, but would you consider this? Right. So we went back and forth a few times with what they wanted to make off of their money and what we were able to do to make this deal happen. Mm-hmm. Finally figured it all out. And what happened to that?
Our offer got denied. I already forget. It's a blur. It was like 2 days ago.
we got our act together finally, listeners, and it went contingent.
Oh, contingent. Okay, yeah.
So the sellers got another offer, and we were too late. But I called the listing agent and I said, "Hey, I see it's contingent. Totally get it. Just want to let you know, we are still interested. We have our act together now. You know, if you were accepting backup offers, you know, just let us know if that time would come." Well, Tuesday comes the next day, and the listing agent calls us. "Hey, we're accepting backup offers.
Yep.
Give us your highest and best."
Yep.
And so we did. Now, that wasn't full asking, which in this market may have been foolish of us, but we had all cash. So that's the cool thing too with not going conventional loan. We were going to buy this property all cash, mm-hmm. and just be a little bit of a stronger offer because of that. We could close fast, like, let's do this. But we just found out this morning or yesterday?
Yesterday. They accepted
the other backup offer.
A more desirable offer, mm-hmm. which I'm still not convinced I'm not going to come back around. But so many things. We feel so accomplished, even though...
I know. It's like, we did it, Annette.
Yeah, it's like, it's those cliche sayings of like, fail forward. But guess what? We've checked off like 10 boxes this week of, yes. like things we've been like talking about doing, and we freaking did them. And we're proud of ourselves.
Yes.
But like, and we're like, okay, what's next? We're already looking at like, yep. what's next on the scene. But the reason we wanted to do this episode is we get so many questions about risk and long-term versus short-term and knowing when to buy and where to buy. And there isn't this, you know, perfect formula, and no. there's nothing that's 100% risk adverse. The one thing that I know for 100%, and Sarah is in agreement with this, is I will always bet on myself, and yes. Sarah will always bet on herself. So together, we know that we'll bet on ourselves together. And that's something that we can be 100% confident in. And even when we went through all those scenarios. So there, we take a house, like we told you, we go short term because that's our real goal. And then we do midterm. Then we do long term. Then we do
selling
resell.
It.
So we do go through all those reps to get that answer. And, you know, we haven't gotten that perfect answer yet, but there are a lot of intangibles that a spreadsheet are not going to give you. And there's also, there's a lot of hidden things that are going to happen that the spreadsheet's, it's not a crystal ball. It's not going to be like, you know, fortune tell for mm-hmm. you either. But we feel good that our offer got denied.
Well, I don't know about good, but I feel good that we put an offer
that we
in.
Did it. Yeah, maybe not. Well, because I still feel like we're going to get it.
I love that house. Oh, you do?
Yeah, I still feel
it's
like
a good house.
I still think they're going to come back around. Listeners, okay. we'll keep you up to date on it. I really do, though.
Property B, listeners. Reach out to us on Instagram.
Property B, let us know.
Property B is coming
but
along.
But I feel pretty good. Unless we're already in contract on something else.
Okay.
When this, I just, I'm not stressed about it because I feel like it's going to come back around.
And I will say one more tip before we sign off, listeners, is, and this is something we talk about with our HBMM members, is to know your mission, your vision, and the vibe that you want to have for your hosting business. You know, Nettie and I believe strongly it is true. Hosting is a business. The property that you are managing is your business. So every property that we look at, it's not just a real estate purchase. That's just the bonus that we're buying real estate, right? In a city that is appreciating rapidly. But also, we know what we want that house to give off. We know we want the guests to feel when they walk in the door. We know, listeners, what we want you to think of. Thanks for visiting. When you see us celebrate our first property, like together, we want you all to be proud of us. Like, oh my gosh,
no,
you guys
we said
did
that
it.
When we were there. We're like, would we have our listeners? Would we be proud if our listeners were like, we're coming to town and wanted to stay with us? Like,
right.
That's something. And we want you to actually, we want you to have that same feeling of like, would we be proud to have my college friends,
yes,
my friends and family stay at the property, whether it's at a lake or in your town or on the beach, wherever it is, like if you always lead with that of like, would I be so proud to show this off and have people welcome guests in?
Yes.
And that's where you like those. Also, that's something that a spreadsheet isn't
going to tell you
at all.
And that's this property B and even property A, it was like, no, we would have been so excited to invite all of you to come stay with us. Mm-hmm. And it's going to happen. Nettie and I, we've done all the things now. We know, you know, with private lenders, what those terms are going to look like. We have more ideas of how we can have more buying power as the duo that we are. And we're just going to keep looking and putting offers out there and moving forward.
I do have to say this because we had an episode, a few episodes back, and we have gotten inquiries. Sarah and I do have something on our site. It's thanksforvisiting.me/invest. And we at some point in time are going to invest with others. We just have some private lenders that have been asking us for a really long time. And so we're actually testing the waters there first on how we're actually going to structure our deals too. This is another thing that we'll get into is how Sarah and I want to do all of our real estate deals. Will they always be 50-50? Will we bring lenders in? Will we bring our listeners in if we want to do a certain property? So those are other things that we're working on behind the scenes too. So if you have listened to that episode or filled out that form, that is kind of where we're at, is figuring out exactly how we're going to do our whole portfolio. So
yeah, it's just the beginning.
Yes, that's it.
Real estate, they're not making any more of it. So we're big believers. All right, listeners, we hope you found this episode informative. Pulling back the curtain a little bit is what we really wanted you to get out of this. Like, real life conversations Annette and I have on figuring out our next steps as real estate investors and short-term rental hosts. And we always want to hear from you. Feel free to say hi at thanksforvisiting.me. Tell us your story. Tell us how this episode either helped you or gave you an idea or inspired you. We love hearing from all of you. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group,
This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.